In one of our parishes, and I'm not going to be specific and you'll understand why, there was a lady, she was a Methodist, but we have very close relationships with the Methodist chapel, and the Methodist chapel was down to 5 members, I think it was, which actually means it could have been closed down. I think 6 is the magic number, as it were. And her attitude towards any change in the church, there were things people wanted to do that really could have reached out to other people, really could have brought in some new people. But her attitude was about the church and about the services on the Sunday, it'll see me out. That's a terrible, terrible attitude. It's a selfish attitude. It's a faithless attitude. It'll see me out. I like going along to my religious club on a Sunday morning and we sing the hymns I know and we say the words I know and we don't listen to the sermon unless it's really interesting, and it'll see me out. What a sad thing. And that attitude, I'm sure, has contributed, not the only thing, of course, to the fact that there are so many church buildings that have been sold or knocked down. I always feel incredibly sad when I drive past. I think it normally is Methodist chapels, actually, sadly. Perhaps they built too many of them, I don't know. But it's so sad to drive past one. So she was in it for what she could get out of it. And we can have that attitude, you know, coming along to get what we want. Something, a church to our taste. And I can do the same thing. But whose church is it, by the way? Is it mine? Is it Patricia's? Is it the PCC's? Is it the church warden's? Is it yours? Is it the Church of England's? No, it's God's church. And I think he's allowed to do whatever he wants to in his church, don't you feel? And we are not to come with a selfish attitude. Of course we will receive. You can't outgive God. You give to God, he gives more back to you. Of course you receive, and we come to receive. That's fine, so long as it's not the only reason that we come. So what's your approach to St. Michael? Shall we go round and ask? No, I don't do things like that because it's embarrassing. I hope you don't have the attitude, it'll see me out. Because that's really not an adequate one. Or it could be just, I come to worship most Sundays. Well, that's a good purpose. Of course it is. Many people don't. They ignore God. We're a godless society, largely. Or is it, I want the church to go places? I wonder if that's your attitude. I believe that is what God wants. That he wants this church to go places. I'm using that metaphorically. I don't mean it needs to move to Penrith. I'm speaking about the fact God wants to do things here. He wants the church to go places. So let's think about this. I mean, please forgive me if I come over in any sense as rude. I do not mean that for one moment. But look at us, brothers and sisters. We're not exactly a bunch of 21-year-olds, are we? We're clocking on a bit. Do you know, I was walking through the churchyard just earlier coming from the car, and I just happened to look at some of the gravestones, and the people had died that I noticed were actually younger than me when they died. And it makes you feel quite sort of, shall I say, mature. perhaps old is the best word, and so on. So we are a small number. We're not exactly young. And we're in a rural setting. We're not some dynamic city church or town church. So isn't it ridiculous to think that we can go places as a church? Can I put it really crudely and say, what a pathetic bunch we are? No, I don't really believe that, but that's what it could look like. As I say again, I don't really believe we are a pathetic bunch, but we can look like that. And the world will smile. Think, look at them. They're all past it. And they've all got that religion. We've got over religion, but they've still got it, you know. They can all have that attitude. And that's what the devil would love to say to us. But do you know how old Abraham was when God called him? Because this is one of the readings that we didn't have this morning about God calling Abraham, and I want to focus on that for the next few minutes. Do you know how old he was? Does anybody know? Answer the question.
80.
No, he wasn't 80. He was 75. And probably most of us here are, perhaps all of us are under 75. I don't know. But God called Abraham to do something quite remarkable, to say the least, when he was an old fogey. He was 75. He was about to pop his clogs. Actually, he wasn't, as it turns out, but it could have looked like that. And God called him to do something really remarkable. Fantastic. The beginning of the Jewish people being formed. So God called Abraham, first of all, to leave the security of what he was used to. Listen to this from Genesis 12 that we could have read this morning. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. Now it's comfy to take the attitude of it'll see me out. I'll just go, we'll do the same old thing, you know, time after time. That's sort of comfy and secure. If the church is going to go places, if we're going to cooperate with the Lord in what he wants to do, then it will take us out of our comfort zone. It'll be a challenge. Bear in mind, I said, we will receive a great deal. The Lord will bless us. The Lord will protect us. The Lord will give to us. That's the other side of the story I'm not focusing on this morning. But if we're going to do what the Lord wants us to do as a church, then we'll have to go out of our comfort zone. Abraham had to come from Iraq, as we call it now, all the way around and finish up in Israel. It's a long way. And maybe not the most scenically beautiful journey in some ways. And he could have refused. He could have said to the Lord, I'm 75, Lord, call somebody younger. I mean, Moses had that attitude, didn't he? Here am I, Lord, send my brother, was his attitude. And so the Lord called this old fogey of 75 to do something really special. But it meant Abraham leaving his comfort zone. So yes, if we're going to do what God wants us to do as a church, there will be challenges. Of course there will. But there'll be challenges that we can manage. They won't be so great that, you know, we can't cope with it, or it drives us into the ground or an early grave. No way, that's not the way the Lord works. So God called Abraham to leave the security of what he was used to. And secondly, God told Abraham he had important things to do. This is what he said. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Hang on a minute, he was 75. How could he produce, by reproduction, a great people? I mean, he was past it. Well, we know how the story went on. I'm sure you remember it. And that proved to be a wonderful thing to do. God has important things to do in and through St. Michael's and Stainmore as well. I am absolutely convinced of that. A special work. He does not want us to have the attitude of it'll see me out, or I'm here as the vicar for another almost 4 years and it'll see me out, stop me getting bored in my retirement. No. Those are very inadequate attitudes. God has got something special to do. Why? Because we're special people. In one sense, we are special people because all who love God, he regards as special. But we're not special with a capital S. And as I say, we're a bit like Abraham. We're clocking on towards his age, many of us. But the Lord has special things, important things to do. He really does. I hope that you either believe that or come to believe that. Because he has got something special. The devil will whisper in our ears, that's ridiculous. The devil will whisper in our ears, look at them. You know, a bunch of, I think it's, are we 14 this morning, I think, here? There are 14 of them clocking on a bit in a rural setting. How on earth do they think that God is going to do something with them? Well, he can and he will. And we need to trust him. Please don't be afraid of what I'm saying. I'm not talking about something that would be harmful, something that would be so great that we couldn't cope with it. God doesn't do that. He strengthens us and helps us to do what he wants to do. And you know, one of the indications, it's not the only one or the most important one, one of the most important indications that God wants to do something is that this church has been under demonic attack more than average. Now, how many parishes have we been in? Seven, is it? I can't remember. I haven't been anyway. And we've been to many, many churches in this country and overseas. But the devil has been working overtime to try and hinder and destroy St. Michael's. You're perhaps aware of that. And of course, he'll use our weaknesses. If we are self-seeking, he'll use that weakness. If we have a lack of love, then he'll use that weakness. If we get into rivalry, he'll use that weakness as well. But the reason why there's been such an attack, and I'm not just talking about in our time, it's going back over years, is because God has a special purpose. And of course the enemy is worried. Why is he taking time to attack St. Michael's if it's a pathetic bunch of oldies, you know, and never going to go anywhere, if I may put it so crudely? Bear in mind, I'm probably older than quite a number of you, so I'm not digging at you. Don't, please don't think I am. So if we weren't a threat to the devil by the grace of God, he wouldn't bother about us. But he has been. Boy, oh boy, has he been. Patricia and I could stand up here and tell you how many attacks we've had, unusually, in the last few months. Why? Because God wants to do something special. And so the devil gives a sort of, it's almost like a backhanded compliment, so to speak. He's negative, he's trying to destroy, but actually he's indicating God wants to do something special. And so even the attacks should encourage us. So, third point, God promised to support and protect Abraham. I've sort of touched on that already. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. We're not going to get too much into the cursing, but anyway. I will bless those who bless you. The devil is cursing us. Trying to, you know, destroy. Of course he is. But the devil's already cursed. He's already condemned. And he will be finished off in hell eventually. That the Bible teaches. And there will be human opponents who will oppose what God wants to do. And of course, we must not for one split second wish any harm on human opponents. We must love them. But that doesn't mean we agree with them. And God will give us the victory. So God has a special work to do amongst you and us. I absolutely firmly believe that. I'm not just preaching a nice sermon because I couldn't think of anything else to say. This is something I am absolutely convinced of. I mean, I thought when I came that God would bless us. But what God has said to me and to Patricia since we came is a surprise as to what he wants to do. So God promised to support and protect Abraham. And finally, God told Abraham he would be a blessing to others. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So I believe God wants to do something here which will be a blessing to this area. He's got his people dotted around in the area, but I believe God wants to do something here which will spread out. We sang that song, didn't we, earlier about love spreading out into the desert, is it? I believe that is appropriate. So I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, this morning, are you up for it? I'd say again, he's not going to ask something impossible of you. He will enable us and enable you to do anything that you might need to do. But are you up for it? Are you up for God doing what he's wanted to do for some years And now, in the immediate future, is the time. What will it mean? Well, first of all, it means praying that God will fulfill his special purpose. We can all do that, can't we? That's not too threatening. But pray that God will do his purpose, fulfill his purpose and his calling to us as a church. Pray every day. Pray for us. Pray for me. You might think that I can, you know, go along quite happily and I'm self-sufficient and don't need any sort of encouragement and support and prayer and so on. Don't think that. The opposite is the case. Pray that God will fulfill his special purpose. And it will also mean making an effort to make sure our lives are pleasing to him. So they're the two things that came to me when I was preparing this sermon. This is nothing high and exalted. It's to pray and it's to take stock of our lives. Is there anything in our lives which is dishonouring God? God is offended whenever we fall into sin. One of the confessions say, we have grieved your love. I was going to say it's a beautiful expression. In one sense it is, but it's a very sad expression as well. We've grieved God's love by the wrong things that we think and say and do. Or the things we fail to think and say and do that we should have done. So they're the two things now. Well, I suppose there are three really. One is, believe God's got a purpose to go places with this church. Secondly, pray that he'll do it. And pray for those of us in leadership that will lead in the right way. And thirdly, have a look at your life. And if you see something that's dishonouring to God, put it right. That's not too difficult, is it? But that's where it begins, so that God will do. And then I could have read, and I'm not going to explain all this, but the psalm for today is Psalm 121, which is beautiful. Listen to this. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Well, it's not difficult to do that round here, is it? I'll lift up my eyes to the hills. So don't look down, you know, having a small vision, just see the carpet sort of thing, just see the floor. Look up and see the bigger thing. God wants to do something special. God wants the church to go places. So lift up your eyes and look at the bigger picture. I lift up my eyes from the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Well, if he made heaven and earth, he could probably cope with St. Michael's bruff, don't you think? Not very convinced, but I think probably he would. Of course he would. If he can keep this vast universe going and created it, I think he might cope with us. Even though we're incredibly ancient, even though we're a small number, he can cope with us. He will not suffer your foot to stumble. He who watches over you will not sleep. Behold, he who keeps watch over Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He'll always be available. Wake up in the middle of the night and worry about something, he's there. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand, so that the sun shall not strike you by day, neither the moon by night. The Lord shall keep you from all evil. And the old devil's working overtime, but the Lord will keep us from him. It is he who shall keep your soul. The Lord shall keep watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth for a couple of years. No, forevermore. Forevermore. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's go for it. Father, we do pray that you will fulfill your purpose for our church life and, yes, for our individual lives as well. Lord, I've talked quite a bit about age, but Lord, you can do things with older folk, remarkable things, as you did with Abraham. So, Lord, do what you want to do with us. And we know that we'll be a blessing then to the community more than ever before, to those who don't know you. And we'll also be a blessing to those in the area who do. So, Lord, do what you want to do. Lift our eyes, we pray, spiritually speaking. Help us to pray. Help us to examine our lives. And help us to trust you for what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen.